Thank you for joining us. I'm Rory McCann. I am the Director of Marketing and a conference producer with Life Science Nation. I'm joined today by Jim McCrell from Eli Lilly. Jim, thank you for joining me.
Great to join you here, Rory.
Great. Could you introduce yourself and also a little bit about what you do with Eli Lilly is setting up and developing a footprint in the Boston-Cambridge arena? I'd love to hear a little bit more about that and kind of the strategy behind that, some of your new initiatives, and where you're going.
Certainly. My name is Jim McCrell. I sit within Eli Lilly's corporate business development organization, but I sit in a somewhat unique position. So PhD trained scientist and sit within Lilly New Ventures. Our goal within Lilly New Ventures is to identify innovation that sits outside of our walls, but knowing very well what we're doing inside of Lilly in terms of building medicines in our core therapeutic areas, which include diabetes, neuroscience, pain, oncology, and immunology. With that role, I work with both a team of scientists positioned around different geographies, including our headquarters in Indianapolis, but also San Francisco, London, and then my team in Boston to find some of the best innovation and figure out ways to help it move forward. Selfishly, we'd love to figure out ways to help it move forward within Lilly at some level, but ultimately we have tools in our tool chest to help that innovation move forward. And we can talk a little bit about how our Boston footprint will help to build on that.
That's great to hear. I'd like to hear just a little bit about how those initiatives are going. What have been some of your biggest challenges in sourcing those early stage assets, specifically in the Boston area?
Mm-hmm, certainly. So, if we just kind of start and think about, where Lilly's been making medicines for patients for nearly 150 years, again, in our core therapeutic areas, what we've been able to do over the last 8 years has been really exciting. We've developed 17 new medicines, including a new approval for a diabetes medication, and we expect to launch probably four more medicines in the next 18 to 24 months. But we know as long as there's patient need, there's room for more, and we need to move faster, and we need to move better. Part of that initiative did include expanding presence in Boston, which we think is probably one of, if not the hotspot for scientific innovation in the world. Because what we had recognized is while we are certainly, we think we have some of the best scientists, innovators within our walls, the innovation is moving so quickly outside of our walls. And so it was somewhat of a challenge to keep on top of that. And so we saw the opportunity to not only build internal R&D in the innovation hotspot within Boston, but also bring more of an external focused presence in Boston so that we can engage more closely with the environment in Boston. The focus in Boston will be around genetic medicine, and there's a key reason for that. We've seen the ability to move medicine so much faster through siRNA and platforms like that. And so we're hoping to expand on that presence in Boston, but we are certainly agnostic to modality. And even as we look at some of the disease indications we've been in historically, we're seeing opportunities to expand our presence there as we look into different platforms.
That's great. Those are such important indications, and also, as you mentioned, a great place to really dive in with both feet. Specifically, Resi Boston. You attended Resi Boston when we returned to in-person events in September, and that's a great place to get to know the early stage ecosystem in the city. Can you share a little bit about what your goals were specifically for Resi? And what your process was like working with LSN leading up to the event, because you didn't just walk in and say, here we are, let's book some meetings. So tell us a little bit about that process.
It was great. I'll just say that the Resi team was terrific. Like I said, we're excited about the growing presence within Boston's vibrant life science ecosystem. And we hope to help impact those local startups and entrepreneurs collaboratively. So the goal was to expand our relationship with local startups and investors in the Boston area. So we began discussions with Life Science Nation and Resi earlier this year. And like you said, decided the Resi Boston was the right event to engage in this vibrant life science ecosystem. So working up to the event, It was a really productive and efficient process. The team that Dennis has, Karen, Tony, and others, were super professional and supportive, knowing what we wanted to accomplish. They asked us the right questions around what indications, what technologies, what size companies. They were super knowledgeable on the space, and obviously they've got a terrific amount of history. We were also super impressed on the company database they have. They provided us an opportunity to plan engagements both in person, but also virtual, with so many great scientists and innovators. So leading up to the event, super, super efficient. And it allowed for us to have a really efficient and productive event then ultimately.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. We love to hear that. What was your experience like on site? What were your meetings like? Tell us a little bit about that process for you specifically as a Pharma Scout looking for these early stage companies.
Yeah. First, I'll say it was probably the second or third in-person partnering event I'd been back to. So that was really nice. And this one in particular was very exciting, whether on purpose or just because it was so well attended. You felt this opportunity of, in a good way, colliding with innovators. It was, whether it was in the panels, at the networking, in the poster area, or just sitting down at the tables, it was an intimate environment in a way. And so you could not physically bump into people. But that was, I think, a good thing, because we all kind of miss those interactions and standing there, having a coffee or something like that, and just getting to meet old colleagues, but a lot of new colleagues. So we're super excited about that when we got there. Going to the companies and the science and the entrepreneurs there, we were impressed by the quality of the early phase innovators in attendance. These were companies that were mostly early, and that's where we look. Our kind of focus area and my team is early stage. These were companies that were either beginning their fundraising adventures, some taking more non-traditional routes to fundraising, which we may not typically see, because we sometimes work with different venture partners or in different areas of the ecosystem. So it was great to see companies that we had known a little bit but hadn't seen for a while, but others that, quite honestly, we may not have come across unless they came looking for us at some level. So it was great to have that kind of diversity of companies there. The quality of the conversations and the networking opportunities, like I said, were terrific. Because it was kind of in this little, intimate floor at the hotel there, it was great. We had our own meeting times, our own tables to sit there and have discussions with the companies. But quite honestly, we probably had more productive discussions in the hallway sometimes, where you didn't know they were there, or sitting on a panel, they heard something I said or one of my colleagues said, which spurred some thinking in their minds, and you're right there, so they come up to you and start that conversation. Which there's a couple examples where we're following up now and having continued discussions there. So and then finally, again, the goal was the representation of the Boston life science ecosystem, and again, it was great to meet so many new colleagues across the innovation spectrum, from pharma peers that I kind of knew and got to know much better sitting on a panel with a couple, and then sitting around at the happy hour on the last night, to investors, to many people in the biotech ecosystem, to even academics. I've been working with a couple of the folks at different tech transfer offices, and finally getting to meet them in person was really exciting as well. So tremendous credit to the team for pulling together this event in the kind of post-COVID world. You felt like you're back full person there.
That is great to hear, and I really like that insight about something you can't really get through virtual partnering. There's definitely a value there, but you don't, to use your word, you don't actually collide with people in the in the elevator, in the halls, and go, I wanted to find you and tell you something. We hear all the time that that's where a lot of really great connections come from. So that is great to hear. And who knows, maybe we'll get a new tagline out of that. Connect online to collide in person.
There you go.
That's great. So you met with a lot of founders, early stage companies, and you've been to Resi, you've seen what it's like. So what advice would you have for some startup founders who are attending to seek partnerships and funding Do you have any advice for not just a future Resi attendee, but maybe an early stage founder who would want to connect with a program like you're working with at Lilly?
Certainly. And I'll try to keep this one brief. I'll first comment that Lilly's committed to supporting early phase innovation. But with that said, you know, Lilly or any other kind of strategic partner is going to lead with the science. So as a company, as a founder, as a, you know, at any level, invest in the quality of your data first. Don't cut corners, especially in this challenging capital environment. The best science will continue to win. And that's what, you know, we're always looking for. There's certainly, you know, you can have big press releases and you know, big, you know, pomp and circumstance around the company. But at the end of the day, we're still going to meet with you and we're still going to talk about the science. And so do lead with that. I think the other thing in terms of connecting with us is ultimately do try to connect early, you know, whether it's attending the Resi conference, finding myself or colleagues on LinkedIn or, you know, through email or other, you know, networking events. Do connect early and balance your connections with a mix of persistence and patience. And I mean that in a good way. We all are, you know, I don't know, post-COVID, it just seems like certainly the speed of the treadmill got ramped up and it just stayed that pace. And so there's a lot of awesome opportunities and a lot of awesome science that on our side we see, and we know everyone outside in the environment is creating and delivering that awesome science. And sometimes it's a little early for us. Sometimes it's not necessarily on strategy. And so if you connect with us and we say, thank you, you know, good luck and keep us updated, be patient, continue to progress your science. And when you think you're at another great inflection point, come back to us. Because whether it's that new data card that flipped is the thing that's going to get us excited, maybe internally we've changed strategy a little bit. That kind of persistence is helpful for us, as long as it's not on a kind of a daily or weekly basis, because, you know, we do have, you know, certain things where we have to meet our own deadlines and expectations and strategic goals. And so, you know, sometimes we'll be as candid as we can be, but so that's where the patience probably falls into the strategy. But, you know, going back to the initial thing I said, do lead with the science. That's what we're here and that's what we're excited about.
I think that's a really important differentiator between partnering with strategic partners like Lilly versus reaching out to maybe more traditional VCs or even angels and family offices. Everyone has a different perspective of what they're specifically looking for. Mm-hmm. But in the early stages, depending on who you're connecting with, what kind of partnership you're looking for, it's important, as you said, to lead with the science. And other partnerships, it might be more important to lead with who you are as a founder and what your mission is with your team. So it does differ. And I think it's really important for founders to really know their audience when they are crafting an introduction or pitching at an event like Resi. It's just important to know who you're reaching out to. So I'm glad that you mentioned that specifically, not just for Lilly, but for similar strategic partners. Make sure your science is sound, have the data, know where you're going to be taking that conversation, and make sure you've got the data to keep up.
Terrific point. Yep.
Now, you're specifically looking in the Boston area, you mentioned about cell and gene therapy. To wrap up, let's get a little crystal ball out and discuss where Lilly would like to see cell and gene therapy going and where you think it could be going in the next 10 years.
Certainly. You know, I think when we look at what Lilly's done from an investment perspective and how we're getting to Boston, we can take a step back and look at an acquisition we made a couple of years ago in a gene therapy company, Prevail. Partnerships we've made with companies like Dicerna, ProQR, and others in the genetic medicine space. And what we've recognized is the opportunity, as I mentioned earlier, to move things faster that way, but also to address targets and diseases that, let's say, more classic modalities like small molecules and large molecules may not have been able to address as easily. And so when we think of gene therapy, cell therapy, And we like to just kind of say genetic medicine at some level. It offers the opportunity to get to the underlying cause of disease. We're really excited about that. Now, we certainly know there's a terrific uphill battle here. We may feel comfortable about some of the ways to target, whether it's the gene, whether it's replacing it with a gene therapy, whether it's knocking it out with an siRNA, whether it's editing it like with a relationship we have with precision, or whether it's altering the milieu of like the immune system with cell therapy or something like that. We certainly know there's tools out there that exist. Where we're at now is perhaps a bottleneck in delivery of some of those. And so that's where we're really focusing. But I think over the next 10 years, I'm hopeful for certainly patients, but also for all the hard work our scientists are putting in, probably literally sweat and tears, maybe depending on the work you're doing, blood, that we do come through and start to deliver some real, transformative medicines for patients where they either don't have adequate medicines or have no medicines at all. And so we're really excited about that. And I think over the next 10 years, we'll start to see the way that medicine is practiced from both a kind of physician to patient environment, but also I think across the landscape, I think we're excited about the way genetic medicine will change the practice of medicine in the next 10 years.
That is great. And if you're listening and you have the silver bullet for delivering genetic medicine, please contact Jim and the team at Eli Lilly. Jim, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And we hope to see you at future Resis and look forward to seeing where you and this initiative go and being a part of that, 10-year dream for genetic medicine.
Thank you, Rory. Yeah, we look forward to continuing our work and working with organizations like Ellison and Resi to build our network and to help move innovation move forward in both the Boston ecosystem, but just in general. So appreciate the time here. This has been really fun.
Awesome. Thank you.